This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
No better story in the NFL right now than the Detroit Lions Conference Championship weekend going to San Francisco to face the Niners. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. With you joining us now, he is a starting safety for the Lions, getting ready for his game this weekend. Ifeatu Melifonwu joins us here on Unsportsmanlike. All right, take us into Detroit after that game. You guys win. You go to the NFC Championship game, secure your spot. What is Detroit like on Sunday night?
It's crazy. It's just a crazy feeling. It's a crazy environment. Just on the field, in the locker room, you step outside, anywhere you go outside. Like, I was at the Pistons game yesterday, and it was honestly just an unreal and just crazy atmosphere.
Ifeatu, you got to the team in 2021. They were 3-13. I'm just curious, from then till now, what's been the biggest, change in terms of your teammates in that locker room having a belief that you guys could get to this point? I mean, just take us from the start of the foundation of what this team was then and to where you are now. What has been the biggest, agent for the culture change that has taken place in Detroit?
I feel like it was mentality. That was the first thing when Coach Campbell came. He wanted to change the mentality and to be like a toughness and grit mentality. And I just feel like after that first year is when people really fully bought in. And even that first year, though, if you look at the way we lost, like, we lost a lot of games in the last minute. So, like, our record could have been better than it was, but I feel like everyone just bought in, and just seeing the way we lost, we knew that we were right around the corner, and then we had faith. And then last year started slow, and then we picked it up and saw how we ended it. So we kind of just, like, we always had that faith and belief that this season would go like this. So, and I don't think anyone in the locker room really doubted it.
I want to stay there with your head coach, Ify, because we get a little bit of a glimpse of his motivational speaking tactics. And we see the him drinking coffee and talking about biting kneecaps. And clearly you guys respond to that. And he helped instill that confidence and that grit within you. But has he ever said anything where you're like, where is he going with this? What is he talking about?
All his speeches are kind of like that. There has been a couple times where, like, he'll say something and we're like, where is he going with this? But it'll be funny at the end. Like, it'll be funny and we'll all be in the team meeting laughing. But honestly, most of his speeches are like that. I feel like even when he's not even trying, it's just like, it's like a motivation speech when he's not even trying. Like, it's just what he believes and how he feels. And he does a really good job of motivating all of us.
Talk with Ifeatu Melifonwu here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. When you, of the Lions, they're starting safety, getting ready for the Niners this weekend. When you think back to what this year has been, did it start last year? Did it start on that Packers game, Sunday Night Football? It felt like a playoff game. We're all sitting there. Green Bay has a win and in. If you look at the totality of it, is that when this all kind of started for you guys?
No. To be honest, I really think it started before that. I think it started, like I said, we always had that belief since my rookie year, but I feel like it really started when we got on that winning streak. We started off 1-6, and then we won 8 of the last 10. So it wasn't just that Packers game, to be honest. It was way before that, because we played that Packers game, like, we was either going to go to playoffs or we was going to knock them out. But I just feel like it started way before that.
Ifeatu, as you guys get ready for the conference championship game in Santa Clara, what are some of the challenges that you guys have front and center from the San Francisco 49ers offense? What are some of the things that you guys have to specifically do as a defense in order to give your team a chance to win that game?
Well, obviously, like, without saying too much, you know, they're a good team, you know, good quarterback, obviously Christian McCaffrey, they got good receivers, Kittle, and their defense is really good. So honestly, like, without saying too much, it's going to be a challenge on both sides. Even special teams, they're really good. It's just going to be a challenge. We just got to stick to what we know, stick to our coaching, you know, I guess limit self-inflicted wounds and stuff like that, and I think we'll be all right.
I want to talk about your season specifically, Iffy, because you had a really big jump this year. You took a really big step in your growth process, and obviously health always plays a factor in things like this, but what allowed you to make that leap in your career and in your performance this season?
It's just a blessing, to be honest. I just thank God that I was able to stay healthy this year. I don't know what it was. I guess it was just me being healthy and just more time on task. Like, I always had the ability, and my teammates knew that, my friends and family knew that. It's just I wasn't on the field to really get to show it. And last year I got moved to safety. So when I was getting injured, my like growth process kept getting like stunted as I was switching positions. So it's just time on task, being on the field, everything slowing down, being more comfortable, and just confidence growing each and each week.
All right, let's talk about the fun stuff now. The celebrity status of all this. You said you were at the Pistons game. It was awesome. Has there been Eminem interaction with you and your team? Because we've seen him at all the games. He's doing the hype video. Have you interacted with Eminem at all with all this?
Yeah, we've seen Eminem at training camp, at OTAs. Like, he'll come to the practices. He hasn't come in a while, but he'll be at the practices and OTAs and training camp. We've taken pictures with them and everything. I don't know when he'll come again, but yeah, we've definitely interacted with him already.
Efe, your brother has a Super Bowl championship with the Patriots. I mean, right now he's got the bragging rights. How important is it for you to catch up and match him with the total number of Super Bowls? I'm just saying, that's what's going on. That's what we see. How important is it for you to get a Super Bowl, to have bragging rights between you and your brother?
I mean, it's not even like me and my brother. It's not really bragging rights. Like, he just supports me, honestly, in everything I do. It's like he just wants me to be better than him. And he wants to see me win one. So it's not even really like bragging rights. You know what I mean? It's all love coming from there. And just like, he's just happy to watch me grow and come to all these games and support me. So he's, you know, he's just excited as I am, to be honest, to get my first one.
That's beautiful, because I would definitely want to keep the bragging rights in the family as long as I could. I want to ask you about your quarterback, Jared Goff. We talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes, about Lamar Jackson, about a lot of these quarterbacks that have been in the playoffs, but Jared Goff seemingly is still underrated despite the career that he's put together. What kind of a leader is Jared Goff within the Detroit Lions?
Nah, he's a big leader. He's a funny guy. I feel like we all like, Everyone loves Jared. He's not like too much of a rah-rah guy, but just like, when you just watch his performances, I feel like he's just so consistent week in and week out. You know what you're going to get from him. And he just does a great job of leading our team. And he just feels like he never gets too high. He never gets too low. And he's always the same dude, and we can count on him every week.
You said he's a funny guy. What do you mean by that? Is he cracking jokes? Is he the prankster in the locker room? Give us a little bit more in a sense of humor, because we don't get to see that.
I wouldn't say he's not a prankster, though. I don't think we really have any pranksters like that. But I don't know. Goff is just funny, man. Like he's cool with everyone on the team. Like, anyone can come up and talk to him. And he'll just crack some jokes, like with the DBs. And honestly, I can't think of a specific joke right now, but everyone knows Goff is funny, though.
Let's talk about your matchup this weekend. For you guys, Brock Purdy is the guy, or Brock Purdy is just another guy?
No, he's a good quarterback. I'm not going to say he's just another guy. He's playing in the NFC Championship, and he's been there before. So he's a very good quarterback.
Boy, that was... You say all the right. Are you sure you're not coached by Belichick? I'm just saying. Like,
no, I'm
I know your brother was.
I'm saying it. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm saying it because I believe it. Like, at this level, we're in the NFC Championship. You can't take anyone lightly. Like, they're there for a reason. You know what I mean? I feel like you'd just be stupid to underestimate anybody. I feel like that's not a good recipe, to be honest.
Efe, there are a lot of people that are saying that you guys are playing with house money right now because you're back in the conference championship game. This franchise hasn't been there since 1991, and so everybody's excited, and you guys are one of the feel-good stories for the NFL. I mean, when you hear that kind of talk, what is your response to it? What are your thoughts about what you guys have done this season and essentially you guys playing with house money going into this game against the Niners?
I mean, yeah, I've heard that, and I guess that's kind of like, you know, how the fans feel because, you know, they haven't experienced something like this. But for us, like, we're trying to go win it. Like, it's not just – obviously, it's exciting to be here and we made it, but we're, like, we're trying to go win it as well. It's not just like, oh, you know, we made it this far, we're happy. We didn't just come this far to come this far. So, I mean, I get all that from the fans' perspective, and but we're trying to go get it, though.
Well, best of luck this weekend. Thank you for a few minutes here, and obviously we're gonna be following your story as long as it goes here because it's one of the great stories we've seen in the NFL. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is. Ifeatu Melifonwu, of course, the safety for the Detroit Lions. I am one of those people that believes they're playing with house money, and I'm going to tell you why. I think when you look at a conference championship game and you think about if they lose, are the coach or the quarterback in question in any way, shape, or form? And for me, absolutely not. If they lose on Sunday at San Francisco, Dan Campbell's the guy, Jared Goff's the guy. If San Francisco loses, Smalls has already questioned the narrative of Kyle Shanahan. You've already questioned the narrative of Brock Purdy, CC. If Baltimore loses, we know that ridiculously people are questioning Lamar. If Kansas City loses, nobody's going to question Mahomes, but people are going to question whether or not Andy Reid could potentially walk away, retirement, whatever it may be. How are you going to
question? People are going to ask that question if he wins.
If he wins too.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
right?
Good
point. So maybe, but I don't think you can waste years in Mahomes' prime, which sure. They're not, obviously, because they're there. To me, I'm just saying Detroit is such an amazing story, and they've been so awesome that even if they lose this weekend, I'm not crushing Detroit on this. I don't know. I kind of look at them as house money.
But I'm with Ife, though. You got to win them when you can win them.
Oh, yeah.
And they got an opportunity. I mean, you don't have to deal with the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles. And essentially, all you had to do was take care of business at home against the Rams and the Bucks, two teams that were fighting to get in Week 18. And then you have one matchup with the San Francisco 49ers in order to punch your ticket. Hey, man, it's all out there. It's all out there. You got to take advantage of it. And you got a quarterback that's more experienced in these moments than the 49ers do. That's the other part of the game.
Yeah, and a team that could be banged up, like they might be more vulnerable than you expected them to be if we were looking previously at the beginning of the playoffs. I also think we thought the Lions could be here at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
There were expectations on this team. We can't just let the laundry and the history continue to cloud our viewpoint of the talent on this team. We thought they would win the division. We thought they would be a playoff team. So they need to go out there and get it done. I think the expectations are high on them.
Yeah. Yes, but I did not think there'd be an NFC title team, NFC championship game team, and obviously they are there. We mentioned the Eagles. There's some news about the Eagles. They made a move with one of their coaches. Not necessarily who you think. We will get to that coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, the Eagles have made a move. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. It is not the move that I think a lot of Eagles fans necessarily were hoping for. Sorry. It is not your head coach. Offensive coordinator Brian Johnson looks like he has been let go. The report from Derek Gunn was the initial reporter on this. And this is now the second straight offseason, different reasons. The Philadelphia Eagles are looking for a new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Last offseason, for all the right reasons. You go very far. You go to the Super Bowl. You get both of your coaches hired by NFL teams as head coaches. Jonathan Gannon, your defensive coordinator, gets the Arizona job. And Shane Steichen, your offensive coordinator, gets the Indy job. In this case, you went through two defensive coordinators during the season. Sean Desai gets fired. Matt Patricia, contract expired. He's out. Now, Brian Johnson, offensive coordinator, who had interviewed for head coaching jobs with different teams, he's now not going to be brought back. And we are awaiting the big presser tomorrow between Sirianni and the general manager, Howie Roseman, in Philadelphia. Second straight year, two new coordinators, guys.
Yeah, my first thought is about Jalen Hurts and how having another coordinator is going to impact him and his progression. We see a lot of times with young quarterbacks that having that churn at the signal impacting the way that they go out there and their scheme and all of that. I just wonder how this might impact him moving forward to have yet another coordinator there.
Yeah, it's really curious to me what's happening right now in Philadelphia because it feels like it's a consolidation of power with Howie Roseman right now, their general manager, because this situation and keeping Nick Sirianni as the head coach, but getting rid of all of his lieutenants, and then all of a sudden going out and getting Frank Reich potentially as your offensive coordinator or hiring Ron Rivera potentially as your defensive coordinator. It just feels like they're flanking Nick Sirianni with former head coaches and strong personalities, but it only serves to make sure that the most important and most powerful figure when it comes to decision-making power within that organization ends up being Howie Roseman.
All right, let's play a round of NFC East Choose Your Own Adventure. This is what I would like for you guys to answer. Which one would you rather? Would you rather be a lame duck coach, 1 year left on your deal, but allowed to do it exactly how you want to do it, or have years left on your deal with two former head coaches brought in as your coordinators?
I'd rather be Mike McCarthy.
Me too. I'd rather do it my way.
So you want Sinatra. You want to go Sinatra.
I mean, think about it. If this team struggles at all this year.
Dallas, you're saying.
No, I'm not talking about Dallas. I'm talking about if the Philadelphia Eagles struggle. They are going to fire Nick Sirianni in the middle of the season and elevate one of those coordinators because both of them have previous head coaching experience. Both of them have been head coaches at multiple places.
If those are the two, which we're assuming that they will hire.
I'm just throwing it out there. It just feels like this feels like a situation where they're teeing it up for, you know, Nick Sirianni to be the fall guy if this team doesn't reach expectations. And if that's going to end up being the case, if the leash is going to be that short, then why even allow him to come back and be your head coach in 2024? That's the part that doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't figure it out either because there are a lot of interesting candidates out there right now that would probably be very interested in your head coaching position, given the talent that you have. And if you're going to set him up to potentially have a quick release, then why not just make the move now? Like, don't go the Brandon Staley route where you're waiting for him to fail yet again.
But let me ask you a question, Smalls, because we've been operating under the assumption because of the talent on the roster, the draft picks, the cap space, that the Eagles would be an attractive job. But how attractive is it when you've seen their general manager, Howie Roseman, fire Doug Peterson 2 years after winning the Super Bowl, fire Nick Sirianni a year after going to the Super Bowl and making the playoffs in all 3 years he's been the head coach? All of a sudden, how attractive is that job to a prospective candidate? That's the part that I'm not quite sure on because, again, I go back to the Chip Kelly years in the mid-2010s. Howie Roseman was a figurehead. He had no power. Chip Kelly had final say over the roster. Chip Kelly coached it. It was all his people. Everything that was done in the organization was Chip Kelly. Once Chip Kelly was removed, Howie Roseman got that power back, and it feels like he has never, ever been collaborative in terms of sharing some of that power in order to, put the team in the best position to have sustained success. Now, they've run into it with some really good decisions that they've made as an organization.
Sure.
They paid Carson Wentz. Wasn't a great decision, but you drafted Jalen Hurts. That offset that. You know what I mean? You went out and you made the swing. You got A.J. Brown. You took Jalen Hurts to a different level. Nick Sirianni had a really good staff that he built out, so you benefited from that and going to a Super Bowl. Now it feels like the part where you're curious as to whether or not Howie Roseman, even if he were to move on from Nick Sirianni, could get his pick of the head coaches that he would think could take this team back to a Super Bowl. I'm not quite sure that ends up being the case, especially if you're a coach that has options.
Going back to that Super Bowl put the deodorant on a lot of that situation with Doug Peterson too, because if you remember, there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of politics internally. There was a battle over Carson Wentz. I remember the reporting coming out afterwards about how Doug Peterson was questioned all the time, about how the GM and ownership were involved in the decision making, and there was a lot of friction and not a lot of cohesion there, and they chose to move on from him. Bringing in Nick Sirianni and going to the Super Bowl in short order does a lot to help us forget about that. But then if you kind of have the cycle repeat itself yet again with Nick Sirianni, even with a lot of talent, I think we're looking at that job a little differently.
Here's the craziest thing. Maybe the worst team in the NFC East has the best job right now. And I can't believe I'm saying
that. Commanders?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Philly and Dallas are significantly better than the Giants and the Commanders. Nobody's arguing that. But Dallas, we have portrayed that job, I think, fairly, as Mike McCarthy is not getting a vote of confidence. He's just allowed to finish his contract right now.
And now you have infighting with your leaders in the locker room.
Well, their families, too.
Well, yeah.
And the Eagles were portraying this as, we're going to really work hard to bring in your replacements next to you, and you're going to have to watch as they try to, not try to actively, but potentially replace you. So Washington, new ownership. Bob Myers, former Warriors executive, now our teammate at ESPN, brought in to consult, which means how do you bring joy to the franchise? And I use that word specifically because that is the pillar of the Warriors. They want joy within the franchise. And you have the number two pick in the draft, and you have a whole new way of going about things. Meanwhile, Brian Daboll, head coach of the Giants, has infighting last year with his defensive coordinator. They don't really have the solution at the quarterback position. And oh, by the way, the greatest coach of all time and Bill Belichick is sitting there. And I have always believed as a Belichick lifer, the only other coach, if he ever left the Patriots willingly, which he did not, if he ever left the Patriots willingly, that he would ever want to coach the only other team would be the Giants. So maybe the Commanders are just the job you want in the NFC East right now. The job, not the team. And there's a difference, right, when you say that.
But that team is not that far off, though.
You thought maybe with I don't think that team is that far off.
I don't think that team is that far off.
So are you in agreement? Best job in the NFC East, maybe that job?
I'm not going to say it's the best job because you're still a ways off when it comes to the overall talent. But if I'm buying stock in these teams over the next 5 years— I'm loading up on Commander stock.
I'm loading up on Commander stock. Yeah, if we're talking longevity,
Talking the next 5 years, yeah, I'm buying up Commander stock right now.
Maybe the better way of saying it is whoever's going to be the coach of all four of those teams in the NFC East to start game one next year, I have to say to you, which one is the most likely to be there 5 years from now? It's whoever's the Commander's coach.
No doubt. I completely agree with that wholeheartedly.
I'm buying stock on that too.
Wholeheartedly.
Very quickly, I want to answer one other question. We asked about the Eagles, if it's an attractive job, and it immediately took me to something that Adam Schefter said with us in the 7 a.m. Eastern hour today about why organizations may be tentative when it comes to Belichick.
You know, when you're hiring Bill Belichick, you're getting the greatest coach in league history, but you're also getting, okay, well, he wants his system and he wants his guys and he wants it his way. And that might not necessarily make everybody, or that might not be as appealing to certain people in an organization as it would be others. So, you know, there are a lot of voices that have a say about whether an individual is hired. Would some of them feel threatened if Bill were in the building? Would some of them be as comfortable? Would some of them be welcome to all the changes that he would implement? These are questions that are going on.
And that may be your answer as to why the Philadelphia Eagles are not making a change, because they don't want someone else coming into the building to take over.
That's exactly it.
I went back and found the article in The Athletic that did a great job of chronicling the ending of Doug Peterson there. And I'm just going to read you one quote, and you tell me if this sounds like a place Bill Belichick would like to be. Doug Peterson was ridiculed and criticized for every decision, one source told The Athletic. If you won by three, it wasn't enough. If you lost on a last-second field goal, you're the worst coach in history. That's what was coming to Doug Peterson internally about the results.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. It's time for Canty's NFL Power Rankings.
Hello, I'm Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPNU. CC's got his top five players to keep an eye on this weekend that don't play the most important position in all of sports.
Yes, and I've been told by our fearless leader, Nuno, our producer, that I have to run through these power rankings. So I'm gonna make this.
I feel like you're speaking slower on purpose.
No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna sandbag this segment. I'm gonna do this quickly.
Okay.
I'm gonna move through, or as he said, roll through the power rankings. So Javonte, if you would.
Number five.
Chris Jones, defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people know him for his pass rush prowess, but in conference championship game weekend, they're going to need his ability to be able to stop the run. That Chiefs front seven got bullied pillar to post. Whenever an opposing team runs the ball 40 times for over a buck 80, you got problems. The Baltimore Ravens, number one rush offense in the National Football League, they've got their work cut out for them to stop the run. You better believe that Baltimore is going to test them early and often when it comes to ability to slow down the ground game. So, Chris Jones, you're going to have to step up and stop the run in order to earn the right to rush the passer. Next.
Number four.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. I get that everybody talks about Tyreek Hill. Everybody wants to talk about CeeDee Lamb, and rightfully so. Those guys were great. But Amon-Ra St. Brown was second in catches in the National Football League, third in yards, third in receiving first downs. This guy is a big play waiting to happen. The most impressive part about how he does what he does, he's second in yards after catch only to CeeDee Lamb. This guy's phenomenal with the ball in his hands. You can put him at X, you can put him at slot, you can put him at the Z, and he is going to make plays. He's versatile in that way, and that makes it tough for opposing defenses to lock in on him. San Francisco 49ers, if they're vulnerable anywhere on that defense, it's in the back end. So Amon-Ra St. Brown could be a big play waiting to happen on Sunday night in Santa Clara. Next.
Number three.
Christian McCaffrey from the San Francisco 49ers went over a buck 20 yards from scrimmage in that game against the Green Bay Packers. And you saw Christian McCaffrey in the second half become more and more of a factor as the 49ers mounted their comeback. His ability to be the hammer, the physical identity of the San Francisco 49ers offense is absolutely critical because they rely on the threat of the run game for Brock Purdy to do work with play action passing. So Christian McCaffrey is the head of the snake when it comes to that 49ers offense. It ain't Brock Purdy, it's number 23 in the backfield. Next.
Number two.
Travis Kelce. I mean, I thought Travis Kelce was washed up during the regular season, had some drops down the stretch in the regular season that seemed uncharacteristic, but he stepped up in a big way when Pat Mahomes needed him to, when they had very little margin for error going up against the Buffalo Bills on the road for the first time in Mahomes' career. Kelce dominated. I mean, two touchdown catches was just absolutely phenomenal. Travis Kelce is seven catches away from breaking Jerry Rice's all-time postseason receptions record. He's not far off in yards, and he's not far off in touchdowns either. So Travis Kelce is, I mean, a big-time postseason player, and they're going to need him to be big-time going up against the best defense in all of football this Sunday in Baltimore. Next.
Number one.
Roquan Smith. Since the Raiders traded for him in the middle of 2022, they've had the best defense in the NFL. I don't believe that's coincidence. I just think that's causation, correlation. Roquan Smith, whether you want to look at defensive EPA, defensive efficiency, points per game, yards allowed, the Baltimore Ravens have had the top defense during that span, and it's been because of number zero, but he should be number one on everybody's list when we start talking about impactful defensive players. and impactful players that are non-quarterbacks this weekend. This guy is absolutely phenomenal. There's a reason why the Ravens were triple crown winners defensively this year. They led the league in points. They led the league in yards. They led the league in sacks. And they led the league in turnovers. I mean, this is a dominant defense, and it's because of Roquan Smith sitting in the middle of it. I ain't going to say he's Ray Lewis, but he ain't far off. Ooh. So, Smalls, that is the list of most impactful non-quarterbacks conference championship game weekend. Roquan Smith, number one. Travis Kelce, number two. You got Christian McCaffrey, three. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number four. Chris Jones, number five. You're my accountability partner. Any objections? Any omissions?
Well, first of all, as your accountability partner, I just want to give you props. You ran through all of that with a quickness, with all the stats, everything. You didn't even look at your notes one time. This was an unbelievable performance. Our man was in his bag here. Love the list. The only thing I would say is I would put Travis Kelce number one on the list just because Patrick Mahomes' other weapons haven't necessarily been reliable for him all season long, and we know that connectivity he has with Travis Kelce. And without that, I just don't know if the Chiefs are going to be able to get it done.
I would also add one other thing, because as long as we're going X's and O's inside football, which obviously CC knows better than anyone, San Francisco and Baltimore, both the number one seeds, both have one position that most teams in the NFL no longer have.
Fullback?
Fullback. Kyle Juszczyk and Patrick Ricard.
Patrick Ricard is a mountain of a man.
I'm just saying, if...
I mean, he's a fullback and a half. He's a 300-pound fullback, dog. He can play D-tackle.
To me, it's no coincidence.
Good luck.
Imagine trying to tackle him when he catches a pass in the flat.
No. I think it's a really important position for... Like, if you think about some of these good teams over the course of time, they still use, not every down, but at times, a fullback. And the Niners use a fullback really well, and the Ravens use a fullback really well. So as long as we're talking about the non-quarterbacks, which I always vow to never do, but I just did, and I brought up fullbacks here, and I don't think – I think they should be just acknowledged. Matt in Nashville, listening on SiriusXM Channel 80, joins us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hey, guys. Good morning. First and foremost, Chris, wahoo wah, buddy. Big fan of you as a player. Huge fan of you as a analyst until this morning.
Oh.
You're way off on
Josh Allen. It was a good
Allen.
Run. Good run.
Way
good
off
run.
On Josh Allen. Now, hear me out. We can appreciate the greatness that is Josh Allen, but recognize he's not Patrick Mahomes. And I think we can differentiate between the two, right? A quarterback's job is to elevate the people around him, make them better. Josh Allen did that. They did not come through for him. He had three bombs that he put out there on a platter. And the one spot where Buffalo may have had the advantage was wide receiver one. And Stephon Diggs came up small. So I don't ever want to hear him complain about not getting the ball in big moments because he failed when it mattered the most. And then he set up the kicker for a 40-yard chip shot. He missed it. It's all about moments. Nobody mentions the dime he threw at the front of the end zone to take the lead. And one thing. If Mahomes loses that game because of the Mecole Hardman fumble through the end zone, are we going to bash Mahomes? No, we're going to make the, not excuse, the fact that that play mattered. Okay, Buffalo's got to step up. They got to help Josh Allen. He did everything he could, maybe left one or two plays that he could have had on the field. That does not mean he's not great. He's not Mahomes, but he's certainly on the Burrow and Lamar Jackson level. In fact, he's had significantly more success postseason-wise than Lamar. And that's it. Hey, buddy, guys, love you very much. Appreciate you. Appreciate the show. I'll hang up.
All right. I mean, that was – I don't agree with everything he said, but that was a fair –
No, I don't agree with anything that he said.
But that was at least a fair, reasoned, logical, hey, I'm going to explain it this way kind of take. But again, when you're putting it on the same level as Burrow and Lamar, that's when you lose me.
That's when you lose me. And here's the other thing. We talked about Josh Allen making great plays in that game. We talked about the throw to Khalil Shakir at the end of the third quarter in right. The front pylon of the end zone. We talked about that.
We did.
It's not like we didn't mention it. I'm not sitting here blaming Josh Allen for their loss. What I'm saying is the head coach gave Josh Allen the ball in the fourth quarter and said, hey, go win the game, and he couldn't win the game. That's what I'm saying. In those situations, that's what Andy Reid does to Pat Mahomes, and guess what? They go out there and they win the game.
Time and time again.
You know Pat Mahomes' record when trailing by 7 in a postseason game? It's 8-2.
Oof.
When trailing by 7 in a postseason game, his record is 8-2. Tom Brady's record when trailing by 7 in a postseason game, 10 and 11. Joe Montana's record when trailing in a postseason game by 7, 4 and 6. That shows you how great Pat Mahomes is. Josh Allen ain't even close.
As I said, I think he's underrated.
Like, stop. Let's just stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop with the excuse making for Josh Allen, okay? Stop it. He walked in. It's not like he walked into a dysfunctional situation. Ev, as we were saying during the break, Josh Allen was drafted to a team that made the playoffs the year before. He was drafted in 2018. The Buffalo Bills made the playoffs in Sean McDermott's first year with Tyrod Taylor as the starting quarterback in 2017. That happened. That's the history. That's the context around it.
So he picked up where they left off.
Essentially. Well, he got them to one round deeper, the divisional round. That's where they seem to tap out. Okay. That's where they're at.
Coming up on Sportsmanlike Moment of the Day and Best Bet next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
The most unsportsmanlike moments of the day here on ESPN Radio. Alone, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you, which have been, of course, CC's best bets.
Yes. Another heartbreaker last night.
What a surprise.
This was a heartbreaker.
Wait, what did you pick? I already forgot.
No, so we had Giannis over 11.5 boards. We had the Bucks winning by 9.5 points.
Yeah. It was 9.5. They won by nine.
And we had Damian Lillard under 38.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists. And we checked two of the boxes. And the one we didn't get was the point spread.
No.
Because Marcus Sasser hit a bucket with less than a minute to go. And it made it, instead of an 11-point win for the Bucks, it was a 9-point win.
Oh, my
gosh. And we had
it
at 9.5. It was a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker last night. But we're going to get back on the horse.
Hold on. You know what this tells me?
What's that?
You're due.
I'm due.
What about the last 100 losses he had in a row?
I'm due.
But he's that close? He's due.
I'm going to break through.
He's going to do it.
The Dallas Cowboys right now.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm going to break through. I like the Philadelphia. We're going to break through.
How about this? You're the Detroit Lions.
We're the Detroit Lions. It's been a slump. It ain't been 30 years, more like 30 days, but we're going to break through.
Let's not say the Cowboys.
It's going to happen. It's actually going to happen for us.
Okay, I don't think it's going to happen for the Cowboys.
So we're going to go back to the association. Denver Nuggets on the road taking on the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
So far, the Nuggets 2-1 on this road trip. Nikola Jokic coming off of a 42-point outburst in their last win. I am going to go with the Denver Nuggets on the money line to win this game. And I'm going to go with Jokic over 10.5 rebounds. So we got the Nuggets on the money line, Jokic over 10.5 rebounds. Remember, no Tyrese Halliburton tonight for the Indiana Pacers. So I'm anticipating that the Nuggets should be able to take care of business. And I think Jokic is going to have a big game. if for no other reason we saw the 70-point game that Joel Embiid had last night, mm-hmm. those two, you know, friends from afar, fans from afar, I have a feeling that Jokic is going to have a big game. So that's why we're going over the 10.5 points.
Right. That's an interesting one because I think back in our day, to make us feel old, that motivation was there for players. Like, oh, my peer, my rival did something. I want to try to top him. I think Embiid would try to top Jokic. If you went into pregame media with Jokic tonight and said, hey, what do you think about Embiid 70? He may not know. He just doesn't care. He's an amazing athlete of like, when he says, I don't know what's going on, I actually believe him.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think he pays attention to any. He legitimately may have no idea that Joel Embiid had 70 last night.
Oh, no, he has an idea. He knows Embiid had 70. That's all anybody is talking about at this point. And he knows Embiid had 70.
But I could see someone telling him this
Somebody
morning.
Told him that Embiid had 70.
Right, but he's not. Yes. Okay.
Somebody told him that.
Fine. Yeah. But he's paying less attention in an unbelievably healthy way, more than most of us.
Yeah, I think he couldn't care less.
Yeah. Now, that wasn't the only big night last night, unsportsmanlike moments of the day. So Joel Embiid had 70 points in a win against the Spurs. Well, Karl-Anthony Towns had 62 points last night for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are 30-13 on the season, but they lost by 3 points to the Hornets, who are 10-31. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns' name has not been mentioned on this show maybe ever, or maybe in months, right? And that is for good reason, because I've heard, whether it's Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, Tim McMahon, any of the great podcasts we have, Low Post and Hoop Collective, have mentioned the Timberwolves. And they've talked about, you know what, give Karl-Anthony Towns credit, because he's kind of accepted this is Anthony Edwards' team, and he's taken a back seat. Well, last night he dropped 62, and it seems like there was maybe an effort to get him those points, to which the head coach, Chris Finch, post-game, not thrilled with what was happening with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, I mean, it was an absolute disgusting performance of defense and immature basketball all the way through the game. So it really didn't slip away. It had been there from the jump. So this is what happens when you have this type of approach.
He's alluding to the idea of trying to get the one guy the amount of points. Were you ever in a spot, CeCe, where you were ever on a team where you felt like, oh, everybody's just trying to help this one guy get some sort of record?
No, I don't remember that. I do remember that time when the New York Giants were playing the Green Bay Packers and Brett Favre gave Michael Strahan the assist on setting the all-time tackle.
How would you have felt about that if you were Strahan?
Oh, I would have. I mean, if I'm Strahan, I feel great about it. I mean, my name is in the history books. I don't care how I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loved that. I mean, even players on Green Bay, I'm sure, felt good about it. Hey, man, I mean, if it's going to happen, go ahead and, you know, let him set the sack record and be done with it. It's a pretty cool accomplishment.
Yeah. Franchise record, 62 points for Karl-Anthony Towns, but it seems like that the effort was obviously towards that. Now, the next one, I did not hear. I have to be honest on this. Nuno, our producer, said, this is so funny, you got to hear this. So let's hear Patrick Waugh, all-time great goalie, now the coach of the Islanders, talking about analytics.
We don't like analytics when you're in the bottom of the league, and we like it when we're in the top of the league. So that's pretty simple.
Analytics. Analytics is not an easy word to say all the time. You screwed up saying analysis. We have an intro of CeCe screwing up saying analysis. That's a hard word.
Well, you got to bring up old stuff.
Well, because it's new every week.
He said analytics.
Yeah, right. Play it again, Nuno, Javante, if you could. Analytics, I believe, is what he said.
We don't like analytics when you're in the bottom of the league, and we like it when we're in the top of the league. So that's pretty simple.
I kind of like it.
I like it. Analytics.
Analytics?
I like it.
Like it should be said as analytics?
Because it kind of does give people a ticking feeling. You know, people really get bothered by analytics.
Mm, okay.
So it seems like it could be the new way to say it.
All right.
I like it.
I like it. My last, Patrick Waugh says it. Who am I to tell him no?
My last unsportsmanlike moment of the day. I'm not saying we're not going to discuss it tomorrow. But for those who don't know, and I would be one of them until midway through the show, Major League Baseball tonight is announcing the Hall of Fame inductions. That's great. Great careers, whatever. The Hall of Fame is ridiculous. We all know with Bonds, Clemens, not in, etc. Why tonight, just so I understand this? Like, why in, like, the heart of football season? Just to, like, make sure that nobody talks about it? Like, what am I missing here? Smalls, you are Miss Baseball.
I can't understand. I have nothing for you. Nothing for you in the defense of baseball. Maybe to get it done before...
Like, we want to get this out of the
spring
way?
Spring training starts. I just feel like baseball constantly gets in their own way. And as someone that loves baseball and defends baseball all the time, I would not think it is a wise decision leading into the conference championship weekend, which is arguably the second biggest weekend in the NFL schedule, that it would be a good time on a Wednesday, no less, to have people wanting to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're going to do it on a Tuesday night, and we're going to talk about it on a Wednesday. It just really doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
So in a perfect world, where should baseball move it if, in fact, they do want to get it in before spring training?
You could do it anytime after the Super Bowl.
How about the first day of spring training?
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that's what
so you have a big
do.
Launch date. You celebrate that sport.
Like, yeah, when pitchers and catchers report, like yeah. That's when you announce. That's how you'd have to do it, right?
Also, come on. Even if they did it during spring training, it's a better time to do it.
Exactly.
It's not talking about spring training that much? Come on.
Exactly. I'm with you on that one, 1,000%.
Yeah, but in theory, the Cardinals and the Marlins in a 5-2 matchup. There's only so much grapefruit league and cactus league
that you're going to take. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but there at least could be a launch for it. Like, the other thing is that I don't understand. NBA, NFL have great launch days for free agency.
Oh, totally.
It's awesome. Baseball's launch for free agency is when exactly? Just like when it starts?
They need to do a better job of promoting themselves all around, whether it's their players or whether it's their big milestones. Baseball does not do a great job of the pomp and circumstance that the NFL does. The NFL has owned that, and baseball needs to follow their lead.
I'll give you two other things now that we're talking about this for unsportsmanlike moments. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the actual ceremony of putting people in the Hall of Fame, happens during games. It's on a Sunday afternoon in the summer. There are other games going on. Can you imagine if the NFL did that like during an actual game? And the draft, which is obviously not that big of a deal, also not at a prime. You're not even trying to make it into something.
The NFL has done a better job hyping up their schedule release.
It's huge.
Than baseball has done with something like emails, the Hall of Fame.
I was literally on emails the other day about when the schedule release is going to be for planning purposes.
See?
Nuno had to remind me during the break, hey, by the way, Hall of Fame inductions tonight. And I was like, football? He goes, no, baseball. He said, I always thought football was during Super Bowl weekend or right before that. I mean, it's unbelievable. One thing after another. Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Wednesday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.